All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Gentlemen, damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network in San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. This is another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest-running fight show in history. I won't tell you how long it's been. All right, 40 years. The bottom line is approaching 41 years now, come September 2025. But straight up, well, as we are the longest-running fight show in history, I'm probably the oldest guy on the radio straight up, but this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, I'll bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, in a little bit. We'll talk about the game of boxing, and of course, the big fights coming up. We've got Terrence Crawford and Canelo Alvarez going to go at Allegiant Stadium. Of course, that's going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, a lot of people are up for this fight. But then again, I keep looking at the negatives of Terrence Crawford. He's 37 years old. I mean, he's almost older than dirt. I mean, that's old for a fighter. And Canelo, who just turned 34, Canelo's had a lot of miles in his body. Crawford's had a lot of miles on his body. Canelo turned pro at 146 pounds. Crawford turned pro at 135 pounds. Bottom line is, there's 10 pounds difference. Allegedly. I don't think it's there. I think he's just a fat Chicano. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. Of course, the man that refused to fight David Benavidez, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years, but for 3.5 years. And yet the Mexican fight fans give him a pass. I don't know what he's got. It's like he's got dirty pictures of every Mexican fight fan in the entire world, and he can blackmail him, because there's no way in the world that any fight fan should get behind Canelo Alvarez with the fact he won't fight David Benavidez. I mean, the last fight he did, when he gave a little skull out to the boxing world, of course, I'm talking about William Skull, that wasn't much. Skull didn't try, you know, but how can I put this? Canelo didn't try either. I mean, Canelo following around like a dog on a leash. That's the way you watch that fight again, like a dog on a leash. I've never seen a guy so inept as walking around the ring. That's what he was doing, walking around the ring as Canelo Alvarez, so-called best fighter pound for pound in the world. The Mexican fans still, straight up, I don't think so. Best fighter in the world, I'm going to go back to David Benavidez. I'm going to say that. No Inoue number two, but best fighter in the world right now, in my mind, Mike Tyson's mind, pound for pound, is David Benavidez, the WBC 175-pound champion. But that WBC title, none of those titles should matter, because you know why? They're all bullspit. I'll talk about that and more with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Good news, my buddy Frank, the House historian, just scored an ace on a physical. Right on, Frank.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So, what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling. Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How do you get psyched up for a fight?
Well, you know, isolation is big for me, you know. Yeah. Getting away from my family, my friends, close friends, etc. Putting myself in jail is the way that I call it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to getting out of there, really.
Hello,
no vacation.
No friends, no family,
no,
anything?
Nothing. It worked very, very reason for me. Some fighters are different. They have to have a lot of people around them,
yeah,
and a lot of action going on. Myself, I basically just want to concentrate just on my opponent and get my conditioning together.
Anyway, it's always great to have you on the show.
My pleasure.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler, born May 23rd, 1954, according to the House historians, Frank, 1961. Of course, Frank is celebrating a wonderful physical this week. Of course, main event, Matt is feeling better as well. So I've got two of my crew feeling better. Of course, they were on the disabled list for a little while, but they're back and rocking and rolling. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Speaking of Marvin Hagler, I've told you before, there were two guys I didn't pop off on. I didn't pop off on Mike Tyson because I thought he might crack me. I'm seriously. And I didn't crack off. I didn't pop off on Marvin Hagler because of the fact that there was a little bit. It was an extra aura of respect for him. For some reason, I have no idea, but maybe I was scared of him too. But the bottom line is there was an extra aura of respect for him. I wouldn't ask him sometimes the most pointed questions I wanted to ask him, and straight up, he was a good guy around me. Of course, he allowed me to watch his training for the last four or five fights that he had in Las Vegas, the Leonard fight, the Duran fight, the Hearns fight, the Mugabe fight. Those were some good times when I got to spend time with him, watching him in Johnny Taco's gym. And may Johnny Taco rest in peace. Of course, Marvin Hagler passed away a few years ago from a apparent heart attack, may he rest, or COVID. They never really got to the bottom of that. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Boxing's PH3 is online. Come to us from the Bronx, of course. And what do they call this new thing now? It's not Twitch. It's not Skype anymore. What's it called?
You're on Teams.
I'm on Teams. Okay. I'm on Teams. Sounds like an orgy, but I'm not going to go into that. But some type of internet orgy here. Bottom line is Marvin Hagler, man, I can't believe that, you know, he's been gone 3 years. But then again, he was getting up there. But when I look at the at the training sessions, when I watch him before the Hearns fight, he was absolutely possessed. I mean, I've never seen him. He was possessed. I mean, he walked around the gym like he was a foot and a half off the ground. I mean, when Iran Barkley fought Darren Van Horn, when he walked in the ring that night, he was a foot and a half off the ground. Just certain times in boxing history when guys are sort of like walking on air. And Marvin Hagler, when he was training for the Hearns fight especially, he was walking on air. And, of course, I asked him time and time again, why was that fight the crescendo of his career, this and that. He said because of the first round. He thought the first round was the greatest round in the history of boxing. Do you think that first round was the greatest history in boxing, Mr. PhD?
It's probably the most exciting round. It's in the conversation. I mean, especially when it's two elite fighters. You know, it's very rare that a quote-unquote big fight lives up to the hype. So the fact that these guys delivered, I would probably give it that number one spot. But you could say the same thing about Gaddy Ward, Pereira Morales.
Gaddy Ward, I thought, was two guys with that just slugged it out because they didn't have a whole lot of real abilities. But Marvin Hagler and both and Tommy Hearns had that ability. They just both went to war. And once Tommy broke, people don't realize it. When Tommy hit him on the top of his head with that one right hand, he broke his wrist. And that was it. I mean, the fight was over at that point in time for Hearns.
Yeah. But Tommy didn't, you know, he didn't show it. You know, he didn't moan about it either.
Emanuel Stewart didn't use it as an excuse. Let me tell you, of all the fights that Emanuel Stewart had, he won all those great fights. I mean, he remembers the losses the most. He remembers the Hagler loss. I mean, and the Leonard loss, the first Leonard loss. He blamed himself for the first Leonard loss because I said to him, man, maybe he gave Hearns the wrong strategy, having him go out there and box instead of going out there and trying to be the hitman. And he thought about that. I go and Tommy came in at 145.3 or 145.4, which is a lot, which is a pound and a half light, which is a lot on his frame. And you want to comment on that? He goes, I overdid it. So, Emanuel Stewart admitted a mistake, but those two losses, just like, hey, all the fights that I had 52 fights, there's two fights I think of the most, and I lost both of them.
Because when you're a winner, losing should bother you. You know, I mean, in every sport, I love reading books about coaches. Bill Parcells is my favorite, and, you know, he talks about a loss that he lost to the Rams in the playoffs, a game that he had no business losing, so. You know, when you're a winner, you hate losing. Plain and simple.
And you know what? And you're all in boxing. You're all by yourself. I mean, you know, like the corner. I mean, once you're done with the fight, this and that, you're leaving the arena. You leave the arena by yourself. Maybe you have a girlfriend with you, but for the most part, you're leaving the arena alone.
A lot of people when you win, not so many when you lose. Right?
That's true. I remember the drives home. When I used to drive home from Concord, and I won each time I won. Each time I fought in Concord, I won, except for that one time. At the Concord Pavilion, I won all the title fights. I think I had two title fights there. But I won them both, and I felt good about Concord. And then there was, that one time I lost in Concord, there's the ride home. And I distinctly remember the ride home all three of those times. The ride home. I mean, maybe my mind's twisted, but the bottom line is, those losses, man, they were really, really tough. Speaking of losses, doesn't look like the Noah is going to lose anytime soon, even though he got dropped in his last fight. Do you think he's on the cusp of losing here?
I think the only thing that could beat Inouye if they get a little too overzealous with the weight going up. You know, I think eventually this may be his limit. You know. But the guy, he's a special fighter. You know, yeah, he's gotten dropped about twice in the last three fights. But so did Felix Trinidad, you know. Larry Holmes went down. But it's like you get him mad. He really, you know, he's got that ability and his conditioning. He's a special, special fighter. If there were more in no ways, boxing would be in a much better place.
You know, when Ray Leonard got knocked down by Don Elan, I think it was in 1988. I can't remember the exact year. But the bottom line is, I elbowed the guy next to me. I said, Donnie's toast. And he goes, what? He goes, Ray's all Donnie's toast. Because he pissed Ray off. I mean, you could see it. Ray go, whoa. And Ray got up, and Ray lit Donnie up.
Well, you said that he's the most competitive fighter you've ever been around, right?
Most competitive, and I think the most... I thought he was the most talented fighter I've ever seen. I mean, boxer-wise, I mean, his ability as a welterweight, I think, is unsurpassed by anybody, including Walker Smith or Ray Robinson, whichever you want to call him. But the bottom line is, I thought the only fighter that really, you know, beat him in his prime was Roberto Duran, and there's no shame in that.
No, absolutely not. You know, he was a beautiful fighter to watch. You know, a guy with skill that if he wanted to could stink up the joint. But Ray was a fighter. You know, that's, I think, one thing that's underrated. Ray bit down and he could take people out. You know, that's why when I've had arguments with people about, you know, him and Floyd. I was like, I don't think you could compare the two. You know, Ray closed the show.
Well, you know what's funny about Ray is that, and I guess it was, about 1983, and he was considering, you know, hanging it up because of the fact that he had a detached retina and this thing, things that, and he came back. Of course, we talked about the Kevin Howard fight in 1984, in which he retired like the second time or the first time. But the bottom line is, you look at his career, man. Outside of losing to Camacho when he was like 95 years old, he lost to Terry Norris. He beat Roberto Duran in that Battle of the Geezers at the Mirage Hotel. You know how cold it was that night in the arena outside? It was 38 degrees. Steve Wynn threw a fight outdoors on December 7th in Las Vegas. Was he out of his mind?
Oof. I've read stories about that. It was brutally cold.
Brutal wasn't the word. I mean, here's what's up. I'm whining. Here I am. I'm whining. Whining. I'm not fighting.
Wasn't that fight on a weekday?
I think it might have been a Friday night.
Yeah, it was a week there. That's right. Yeah. I think Roberto landed one good shot and he cut Ray, and that was it.
I didn't think that's one more punch you're giving Roberto credit for than I thought he deserved, because I thought that was a bit of a stinker that night. I mean, Roberto's old and fat and slow, and obviously after the Barkley fight, he never got it together again.
No, that was definitely the last hurrah. Yeah, and speaking of Barkley, I don't know if you heard, but he's not doing too well. He's got cancer, apparently.
You know, what kind of cancer is this? Do you know?
I don't know. I was trying to look for it, but someone I saw posted cancer, and you know,
speaking of cancer, my house historian Frank, 1961, just got cleared this week, so we're really happy about that. And then I've got another friend of mine that isn't doing all that well, and it's rough. It's rough to be around somebody that you really care. I think the toughest part of living, Socrates, is watching somebody you care for die.
I think that's the
toughest part about life, I think.
When your contemporaries start disappearing, it's sad. Not even
contemporaries, but people before you and after you and just... It's really crazy. Let's take it to a break. Let's come back on something positive. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. We are on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. The Boxing's PhD, the great Socrates Palmer, is here from the Bronx. We'll come back. We'll pick his brain some more. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Celebrate Marvin Hagler.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, Sadly, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I thought I would knock him on the early rounds, but like I said, he brings excellent condition and he's determined.
Why didn't you go after him to try to knock him out when you knocked him down early in the third round?
I say, why get callous if I've been training for 2 months?
Here's the knockdown. Describe it to us as you see it.
Well, like I told Jimmy, the 1-2 is going to get him all the time. But I wasn't going to get overexcited and play myself cheap. I said, I'll knock him out early if it happens. If not, if it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
No, because I knocked down a lot of fighters and still took my time. I'm just getting seasoned through every fight, and I'm pound for pound, I'm the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Bring him on. Bring him on. Mancini, I don't respect your opinion. Come on, baby. I could knock you out.
Well, who are some of the
Bernard Williker, you could get some, baby. You could get some too. Brian Boone. Jimmy Paul. Sammy Holmes. All your come on with it, baby. Yeah, buddy.
That's your time.
Let's hear from you, Larry.
What about Aaron Pryor?
Aaron Pryor, come on with it, baby. I got faith in you. You bounce back. I know you. Come on, baby.
That's
come on with
time.
It. It's macho time.
Happy birthday to the Harlem Heckler. Hector Camacho, born May 24th, 1962, died on my birthday, November 24th, 2012. Straight up, when I named him the Harlem Heckler, I was writing for the boxing trade papers, which meant I wasn't writing for boxing fans. I was writing for other people in the boxing trade, okay? The Flash and Boxing Update magazines before the internet were the boxing trade papers, per se. So anyway, when I named him the Harlem Heckler, I sort of like freaked out. Because, you know, I've given guys nicknames over here, like Juan Lascano. I called him the Hispanic Causing Panic, and he didn't like it. Screw you. You said, you know, but he didn't like it. Anyway, so I didn't know how Hector was going to come across with it. So I'm sitting in an office in Atlantic City, and Camacho's there. Mike Acri, the late promoter, Mike Acri's there. And Camacho's there, blah, blah, blah. And Camacho's going back and forth. I'm fighting with the wife on the phone. And the wife hangs up the phone on me. I was on the phone with my daughter. And Camacho says, let me call her. So Camacho picks up the phone. And he calls the old lady, ex-old lady. She's really a witch with a B. Hear what I'm saying? So anyway, bottom line, she thinks it's, when he says Hector, she goes, who's this? She goes, Hector. She goes, Hector who? Because she thought it was like Hector, one of my good friends. Okay? She thought it was like Hector she could spit on, you know, spit with an H, right? Turned out to be Camacho. Camacho embarrassed her on the phone for me. It was pretty cool. I got to spend some more time on the phone with my daughter. Hector, rest in peace, Hector Camacho. The Harlem Heckler. Last time I saw him was the day after he beat Ray Leonard. I did the television for that, and that was pretty sad. But he licked Ray. Ray came in with a bad Achilles tendon, but Ray was older than dirt, and Ray had no business being in a boxing ring that night. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hey, you know what the key to that fight was, Socrates Palmer, Camacho, and Leonard?
What was it?
Was Mike Acri demanding a same-day weigh-in that morning at 160 pounds for Ray Leonard.
Really?
Yep. Same day weigh-in. That killed him. And Ray was cocky at first. Ah, no, baby. Yeah. Well, guess what? It didn't work out too well for him. Of course, he had the torn Achilles tendon to begin with. But May 24th, 1962, the Harlem Heckler was born. Of course, he was killed November 24th, 2012, in Bayamon, Puerto Rico, when he was either he was collateral damage or he pissed somebody off and didn't pay somebody on a drug deal. There's two different stories on that. Well, have you heard the two different stories on Camacho being killed? There was one time they were shooting at the other guy, the dealer who was driving the car or something like that, and Camacho was like collateral damage. And then there was another story that Camacho was telling guys, and I've heard, listen, Huey Newton did this over in Oakland, California. He demanded crack from crack dealers because he was former head of the Black Panthers, and they finally shot him.
I didn't know that of the story behind Huey. Is that, you know, you always hear, oh, they shot Huey, or it was like a setup.
No, Huey Newton was a great speaker. I mean, I watched him speak a couple of times. He was a thrilling speaker to be around. I mean, he was a great orator, no doubt about that. But at the end, he was trying to push that ghetto stuff on street dudes, and he was taking crack from guys and not paying for it. That's not healthy. No, not the crack's not healthy, and neither is taking it from a guy.
You got to pay a tax.
Yeah, well, exactly. I don't want to go into that, but bottom line is, right now I've got a friend of mine that's going through some alcoholic issues, and I'm trying to coach him through it, and he's really a reluctant guy, this and that. So unfortunately, and I've went through this in the past with friends that drink, you got to wait until they crash. When I say crash, this guy drives, so it's going to be scary. Eventually, he's going to get into a car accident, okay, you know what I'm saying? But you can't tell a guy. He says, well, I only have one. And then one becomes three. He can't have one. You know what I'm saying? And I can't convince him of that. I mean, alcohol is like, yikes, it's everywhere. And alcohol and tobacco, man, two hardest things to kick. I don't know why I went on that tangent, but bottom line, they're two hard things to kick because they're in your face all the time. And when I go places, I don't know if I told you, Sock, but when I go places and I have drinks with babies and broads and that kind of good stuff, and I order a shot of Coke.
Okay.
And hey, I'm not talking about cocaine, you know. I mean, I would have actually a shot glass, a double shot glass, having pour Coke in it, and I go back and I toast these people, and they think I'm drinking, everything's good. Now, if I told them I wasn't drinking, I'd get questioned on it.
Look, you know, I never try to push anything on anybody. If you're an addict, there is no chill mode. You just can't just have one, unfortunately, you know. Yeah, to each his own.
Okay, I got a question coming in here on text. Fastest fighter ever? Was Camacho the fastest? Do you have the fastest hands of all time?
Ooh, that's a good debate. I would say Camacho. Meldrick Taylor in his prime was a very flashy fighter in terms of combinations. I mean, he's got to be in the conversation. I mean, Camacho's hand speed was crazy. Roy Jones, you know, a lot. But if you said Hector, I'm not going to argue with you.
March 1990, Meldrick Taylor and Julio Cesar Chavez the first time around. I remember, you know, Meldrick went to the hospital afterwards. And Pernell Whitaker, the late Pernell Whitaker, he was flying. He was skiing. Can you believe he was skiing at a press conference? You know what I mean by that?
I'm not shocked. Well, Sweepy had said that he had been doing blow back in 84.
He was doing blow in the Golden Gloves. He had a cocaine problem. Well, you know, he was always cool around me. Even when he was in his prime, he was cool. When he retired, he was cool. When I met him in 1984 at the Olympic training camp, he was cool. I mean, Pernell was always really, really cool around me, but always cool, but ultra confident at the same time. In other words, he was a champion, but he could handle more things than boxing. Unfortunately, you know, alcohol got in the way, and it was alcohol or cocaine. Alcohol got him killed. He stepped out in front of a car.
Yeah, he was a very nice dude to be around, and unfortunate way to go out. He was walking on the service road, I believe, or a highway, and got hit by a car.
Well, you know, and he was intoxicated at the time. But, you know, but I look back at his run, though, 1984. You know, the 84 team, they didn't fight the Cubans. So I've sort of put an asterisk next to that. Most historians don't. Do you feel me on that?
I think that's a fair statement, you know. I mean, it's going to be one of those things you never know. I believe Netflix is working on a documentary on the 84 team, I had read somewhere, so that should be interesting.
Jerry Page won the gold medal, okay, at 140 pounds, junior welterweight, and he was a guy that I was after. And he talked some smack the other day to me on Facebook, and I told him, listen, man, I wanted to fight you. I go, but I lost the decision to Vincent Webb. I mean, because that's who the guy I was. Page was one of those guys, the top of the 100 junior welterweight limit back then, junior welterweight division back then, that you targeted. He was the guy that I wanted to fight. Unfortunately, I never got to that level, but the bottom line is, I saw him across the ring. We were sparring together, not sparring together, but getting work together in Colorado Springs. And I never thought much of Jerry Page. Now he's fat as a pig, so I really want to fight him.
Maybe we could hook something up at charity. That'd be
well, good. That's all right. He's like 200. He's like over 200 pounds. And he said, listen, when you're 200 pounds, you used to be the 140-pound king. Don't talk any spit.
Where is he from?
So, I can't remember. I can't remember right now. But from the Midwest somewhere.
St. Louis or something?
Maybe, yeah, St. Louis. You know, that Vincent Webb guy that I fought in the Western Olympic trials, man, good Lord, he didn't eat for 2 days to make weight, this and that. I said to myself, I'm going to beat this guy up. I was going by his room eating brownies and that kind of good stuff, man. And he still went out there and beat me. I mean, he's a bad dude, absolutely bad dude. He wasn't ranked number 9 in the country and, like, number 11 in the world for nothing.
Wow. I mean, no shame in losing someone that's good.
Yeah. I never felt any shame in losing, but I'm telling you, the losses still carry a burden on me today. I hate to say it, man. And Manny Stewart, same thing to his grave. He regretted those losses. And you said it's a winner thing. That I don't think it was a winner thing. I think it's just a human thing. He said, you know, handling losses, especially a loss in a boxing ring, is just not easy. Anyway, I can handle a loss of you for the next segment, though. You have a good day. Go spend time with the family.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you, like always, having me on.
All right, so our bottom line is, how's Mama doing?
Mama's good. Made 12 weeks. We had a sonogram appointment yesterday, so far so good.
Well, is the rest of the family, your mother and father, everybody, like, elated?
Absolutely.
Well, so am I. I can't wait to buy gifts for the kids. Straight up, you are the wonderful one, man. I you're a great dad and a great host, and I'm just, you're a credit to this team. Thank you so much, Sock.
Thank you, Pete. Love you.
Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824.
That's 800-475-6824.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And now, the king of boxing, the undisputed middleweight champion of the world from Brockton, Massachusetts, Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
That's what I feel, war. That's what's on my mind. I've been feeding the faith and I've been starving the doubt. So there's no doubt in my mind that I can't win this fight or that I won't knock Thomas Hearns out.
Marvin, I know you have ambitions to become an actor, and if you think about, among all the actors, who's your idol?
Bob Hope and Lassie.
I'm kind of tired of all this talk and everything. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to knock him out. That's all it is to it, and that's the bottom line. I'm going to knock him out, and he will not be the beast no more. And this man, I will end his career for him.
You better get your popcorn and your beers and find your seat real quick, because this fight don't necessarily have to go 12 rounds, because I'm out there to rip his head off. I got H-U-R-T written in my mind. That means I'm going to destruct and destroy.
I realize now what they want to see. Every championship fight, they want to see a knockout. They want to see somebody knocked down. They want to see somebody beat up. So, hey, they're talking to Marvin Hagler. They're talking to the right man.
You know how there's no shortcuts to success, okay? But at the end of the line, there's always a stop sign. And if I had to go straight, I had to go there. There's the stop sign. So, Julie, you're going to still meet the same point at that time. And that's the way I see it. Because just like Joe Louis says, you can run, you can hide, but them shortcuts, sooner or later, you just ducked a couple, but you're still going to have the same whooping coming.
Roberto Duran will bring out the best, the Marvelous Marvin Hagler, that night. I think I'm going to surprise the world. I'm going to shake the world that night.
Hey, who's the champ? Hey, I'm the champ. Hey, who's the champ? Hey, I'm the champ. Hey, got my mind. Hey, Tadashi. Hey, got my mind. Hey.
There's only two things on my mind. This is for you, Folio Bell. Destruction and destroy. They told me that you were sick last time. I'm gonna make sure that you're sick this time.
This guy had a big mouth. Said I was scared of him in the beginning because I wouldn't give him a shot. At the press luncheon, I'll never forget it, he said that he would knock me out. He's got a nasty smile on his face, which I don't like, and I wanted to take that smile off his face, and which I did.
Tony Simpson, not a bad fighter.
Not a bad fighter. Would you got any more over there, Britain?
I don't think we got any good enough for you. Would you come if we had? Would you come?
No. I will feast on the beast come March 10th.
If you can hit me, I should be able to hit you too. And let's see who hits harder. It's not the point of who hits harder. It's what you got behind the punch. And I feel as though that in the long run, fine. Let him come out and try to blow me out of there, because I believe that's what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to most likely show me his strength. I'm bigger, I'm badder, I hit harder. And I'm going to say, fine, I love it. Ooh, I love it.
The Hearns' best defense is his offense, because that's the only way that he knows how to fight. In my way, I have to make my defense my best offense. So, and though that I have both ways, because once I get him in trouble, I can change it around. Thomas don't have that ability.
I believe in myself, and I don't need anybody patting me on my back. I don't need any bodyguards following me around, nothing like that. I've been in the game 17 years, and you know, God has blessed me with a great skill and art, and I hope to fulfill all those needs.
I believe that I want to prove to the world that I am one of the greatest. I think Monzon was the last great middleweight champion, and when I'm done with this game, I would like to go down in history as the same way.
was Marvin Hagler, of course, on Sports Byline, talked about his career. Of course, he was a, when it came to conditioning, Marvin was always there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, but the psychological deficits that he had time and time again, well, that's what came back to haunt him. And why do I say that? Because when he fought Thomas Hearns, he had to knock out Tommy, okay? He knocked out Tommy, knocked out the Hitman. When he fought John Mugabe, he had to knock him out too, right? But the bottom line is he could probably easily outbox the Beast. Instead, he took a beating for a long time, stopped the fight in the 11th round with a KO. But the bottom line is Mugabe beat on him like a drum for a long time, of course. So, and then he tried to outbox Ray Leonard. I mean, the greatest boxer maybe in the welterweight division in the history, of, in my mind, without a doubt. Of course, Ray was 33-1 at the time. Why would you try to outbox the greatest boxer going? Because he wanted to do things his way. He had to outbox the greatest boxer. He had to outpunch the greatest puncher. That's the way Marvin rode. Marvin was a bit of a head case, straight up. Let's go by the House historian, Frank, 1961, who was feeling so well with that AAA feedback from the physical medical exam he had this week. More power to him. On this day, May 24th, 1986, Wilfredo Gomez fought in his last world title fight. Yeah, right. When he lost the WBA World Junior Lightweight title, 130 pounds, to Alfredo Lane. I could have beat Alfredo Lane. I could have beat Lane. Anyway, he lost to Lane by knockout. That was in the ninth round, and that was in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. Of course, born on this day, I mentioned a little bit earlier, Hector Macho Camacho, born May 24th, 1960. Of course, he died on my birthday, straight up. The Harlem Heckler will be missed. May 23rd, 1981, Wilfredo Benitez, Wilfred Benitez, became the first Hispanic and Puerto Rican to win became a three-time world champ when he knocked out Maurice Hope. I think it was in the 10th round. He knocked Maurice Hope out with the most perfect right hand he's ever thrown in his entire life. I think he knocked out one or two of Maurice Hope's teeth. Now, get this. This is May 23rd, 1981. May 23rd, 1984, I was kicking his ass. That 3 years. I mean, I'm not kicking it. But, I mean, I didn't try to take advantage of him, but they told me, when the first round I went out to him, I was real soft, I was scared, this and that, and I went back, and Chris Gomez told me, I'm going to leave here, I'm going to walk out this arena, I'm walking out the gym unless you take care of business here. You're running from this guy, there's no need to run from him, go to him, get it to him, give it to him, Pete, give it to him. So anyway, I went out there and I gave it to him. Gave it to him pretty good for like 2 rounds. So we went three, I think we went three the first time and two or three the second time. But both times, the first time I was scared, second time I wasn't scared, and of course, he was shot. I mean, here I'm beating this guy up in the corner. I mean, Wilfred Benitez, the guy that fought Ray Leonard in 19... Come on, I'm beating him up. I couldn't believe it. I was like, 1979 fights Ray Leonard in November of 79. Of course, he loses a 15-round TKO when the referee stopped at the last minute. But the bottom line is, you know, he was a boxing god, an icon, but he was so shot at that point in time that this amateur's beating him up. So bottom line is, may he rest in peace. He's still alive, but he's dead. I mean, that's bottom, you know, I told you about it, what his father did to him, right? His father was Gregorio Benitez. And if you ever want to spit on a guy, not spit with an H, just spit, it would be Gregorio Benitez. And the reason why I say that is nobody abused their son more than he did. He was 13 years old, and they put him in the ring with world champions. That's right. He was 13 years old, and they put him in the ring sparring in the gym, in Gleason's gym in New York City, with world champions. You think that's going to be good for his overall health down the road? I don't think so. That's why he's retarded now. He can't talk. He couldn't talk much in 1984. When I had him over here in San Francisco, of course, I took him out a couple of times, and I asked, he wanted to talk about chicks. That's all he wanted to talk about. My girlfriend. Tell me about your girlfriend. Man, I want you to tell you about me. What are you talking about? Anyway, that's all he wanted to talk about was girls, girls, girls. Of course, then I realized that Wilfred Benitez was an idiot savant. What I mean by that is he was an excellent boxer, but that's all he could do. He couldn't spell his name. He couldn't talk much. He didn't do interviews. I mean, you don't see any extensive interviews with Wilfred Benitez over the years. You just don't see it. Bottom line is, he was in bad shape in 1984 when I lit him. So there's no really, I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm just telling you the way it was. And of course, he was a nice guy, but, you know, boxing did some damage. And this is no doubt about that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world, boxing and MMA. Of course, coming up in just a little bit, I think on DAZN, of course, well, I'm not a big fan of Josh Taylor, because Josh Taylor is a former junior welterweight champion. I think he missed a couple of fights he probably should have had, but he probably should have taken. But the bottom line is, you know, he's in action, and they consider him a star because they've got him on DAZN. Did I tell you about DAZN now, what they're doing with promoters? Promoters, back in my day, you got paid by networks to do things. In other words, if you were going to throw a show on a network, they gave you a check. Okay? Now, guys have gotten so desperate as far as boxing promoters are concerned, is that they were, instead of getting 30 grand or 40 grand or 100 grand, whatever it was from DAZN, then they started lowering their expectations. In other words, if they were getting a standard 40 grand, one guy would say, I'll do it for 30. And then one of the guys, I'll do it for 20, and I'll do it for 10. Well, the bottom line is they got promoters doing that for free, and that just doesn't work out well. It just doesn't. I mean, come on. You're seeing a whole lot of trash, a whole lot of quantity, but not a whole lot of quality. Of course, I'm talking about, I'm not a big fan of Josh Taylor either. Of course, Josh Taylor is a former junior welterweight champion, now fighting a welterweight. Take on a guy by the name of Eko Esamon. Of course, Eko Esamon has been brought into the UK to be act as a fallen. He's supposed to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. We'll see what happens. On the 28th on DAZN, of course, Eduardo Nunes and Masini Rikishi. That's for the IBF junior lightweight title. May 30th, DAZN. Manuel Gallegos and Khalil Coe. The reason why I'm saying this is they just charged me $30 yesterday. The Zone did, D-A-Z-N, so I'm bringing this up. Of course, May 31st, Prime Video, Caleb Plant versus Jose Resendez at 168. Jermell Charlo versus Thomas Lamanna. That's going to be at 168 as well. Of course, if Charlo and Plant win, as they are expected, as they are betting favorites in both fights, they will meet somewhere down the line. June the 5th, not much there. ESPN Plus got a card going on. June the 7th, ESPN's got a card with Keyshawn Davis, considered the future at 135, maybe. Of course, the WBO title holder, undefeated. I think he comes to us from New York City, the Big Apple that way. Edwin De Los Santos is the opponent. De Los Santos can fight, but he's going to lose here. June the 8th, one of the best fighters, pound for pound, in the entire world. WBC 118-pound champion, Junto Nakatani. He's undefeated. He can punch, too. I mean, not too many. Listen, these Japanese guys, I don't know what's going up with them, but this last era of Japanese fighters, they're different from the prior generations. These guys can punch. I mean, Nakatani can punch. I mean, Inoue can punch. Before that, Japanese fighters couldn't punch to save their lives. And the feather punchers never could punch. Never really were pound-for-pound greats. Now we've got two pound-for-pound greats on the list at the same time. Junto Nakatani, of course, he's down there about number five or number six, I think, on my pound-for-pound list. And, of course, Noah Inoue is number two or number one on most people's pound-for-pound list. June 14th, the Zone's going back with Richardson Hitchens and the former lightweight champion George Kambosos going at 140 for the IBF title. June 19th, the future star in boxing, Brian Norman Jr., defending the WBO welterweight title, is 147 against Jin Saki. That's going to be on ESPN Plus June the 19th. June 21st, Vito Melonaki versus Camille Garzanek. That's going to be a middleweight fight, of course. Then come back 27th of June, ESPN Plus. This is going to be a pretty good fight, I think. The reason why is I like the way this guy punches. Of course, he's another guy that's been ducked. I think they're going to be, the WBC is going to make this for the interim super middleweight title, because Canelo Alvarez just defended the super middleweight title just a few weeks ago against Skull, so they need another WBC interim champion at 168 so they can collect some more money. This is a ripoff. This is Mauricio in action. WBC in action. We beat Canelo, Christian Mabili versus Masi Salika. That's going to be a WBC interim super middleweight title. That's going to be June 27th on ESPN Plus. Straight up, if you got the app, it's a good investment. I don't know what ESPN is going to do when Top Rank is leaving. June 27th, the return, and this is a bit sad. The return, of course, of Deontay Wilder. Let's go to a break. Deontay Wilder taking on Terrell Herndon. Terrell Herndon evidently drives a cab. I kid you not. Of course, the 28th will finish this off. Man, I wish I could get a fight with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Because I couldn't beat his father. Not right now. The father's in good shape. But the kid, I can lick him like a stamp. He's taking on Jake Paul June 28th on pay-per-view. What a ripoff. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk. This time tomorrow I'll be on the road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane. And you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak. And there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That voice you heard bringing me back, the late, great Scott Cuddy. So yesterday I'm listening to the P. Diddy thing, right? Of course, P. Diddy's my favorite guy, not Sean Combs, of course, going to jail for the rest of his life. And they had this guy on Kid Cudi. He was like a witness in the case. But the bottom line is they kept talking about Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi. And I remember my Kid Cudi, may he rest in peace, the great Paul Scott Cudi. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, the world of the UFC, I was going to get into that in depth, but the bottom line is Sokka and I didn't touch on it. But, you know, Dana White is looking to take over the world of boxing, much like he has the world of Ultimate Fighting. I mean, come on, he bought the business for $1.5 million, and he sold it for like $4.2 billion. In other words, he sold it for $4,200 million. He bought it for $1 million. I mean, the guy's a genius. There's no doubt. The guy's a genius. There's no doubt about it. Not my favorite guy, but he's a genius, okay? Give him props. Now, what he's going to do for the sport of boxing, I think he's going to lower the pay for a lot of guys. In other words, guys that, you know, they're talking about guys getting this and guys getting that and guys getting this and guys getting that. I don't know. It hasn't worked for the fighters in the world of the UFC. They haven't. I mean, they don't get any money, per se. I mean, one guy, I think, sold, was it, who was it? Was it John Jones that did the big card at MSG? And, of course, he did the couple of million, big million, a million homes on pay-per-view, and he got a $50,000 bonus? $500,000 and a $50,000 bonus, something like that? So what I'm trying to tell you is, at the end of the day, I think Dana White's a crook. That's just my opinion. May 31st, of course, he's going to go with Blanchio versus Barber. That's going to be, of course, UFC on ESPN from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. The next big card, as far as the UFC is concerned, is probably going to be Holloway versus Poirier. That's going to go down, of course, July 19th. That's a big card. It'll be, of course, in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Smoothie King Center. I've never been to that arena. Bottom line is the main event, of course, lightweight Max Holloway. He's the champion. I can't believe this guy's a champion at 155. Of course, he was the guy at 145. If ever there was a guy that's headed for punch drunk syndrome, it's got to be Max Holloway. Daniel, can you agree on that? Max Holloway, is anybody, I mean, this guy's damaged already. And I mean, his one eye's looking one way, one eye's looking the other. He looks like a bad pinball machine that's on tilt, okay? But yet he's still doing his thing. Of course, he is a champion at 155. He went off that big win, an upset win, and capturing that championship, being the former champion at 145. Now he's taking on Dustin Poirier. Of course, Dustin's shot to an extent, but they're going to hook it up on the 19th, I believe, of July. Of course, that's going to be in New Orleans. More power to Dana White. He's making $4, $5, $6 million at gate. One gate was $6 million. Most of his gates are over $2 million. I mean, boxing only has one or two or three or four couple of million dollar gates a year. Why? because of the fact that boxing is so fragmented. Bottom line is boxing is run by a bunch of guys that have taken the money and just ran. I'm talking about the sanctioning bodies for most part, the WBC and the WBO. The WBA, I think they're becoming a minor partner. The International Black Federation, the International Boxing Federation, of course, out in New Jersey, founded by the convicted felon Bob Lee. I think they're playing a lesser role in the world of boxing. Bottom line is there's no media. And you have no media, you have no control, there's no restraint, they can do whatever they want. When you have guys doing whatever they want, you're going to have trouble. There's no doubt about every. It's like people driving down the highway. No highway patrol. Guys are going 100 miles an hour getting killed. Same thing in boxing. No control. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My producer is the great Daniel Ogden. Of course, he's a super dad of incredible stature in this country, in this world. No doubt about that. Wishing the very best. Have a good week. I'll see you Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Same channel. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.